Let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of John today. We're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture as we think about our Lord and Savior, as we look into the life of the work of the Lord and moving toward Easter, and as we think about Christ and His coming to this earth, His ministry, His mission, the things of God. And as we turn to John Gospel, let's turn to chapter 12 today. We're going to look at this matter of the situation there in Bethany with Mary coming to the Lord, of course, and the work and all that she did just prior to the Passover, just prior to the crucifixion of our Lord. A little background into the story. You remember that the Lord was close with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, these three in the family, and we don't know how much time the Lord spent with them at Bethany. Bethany was just a short distance away from Jerusalem, and oftentimes he would go up to Jerusalem, up, of course, into the mountain, not necessarily geographically, but coming down, as we would say, geographically from Galilee. He would be going down to Jerusalem, but it's always seen as being up because of the height of the mountain there in Jerusalem. So he would go to Jerusalem on occasion. We do know that the Lord would go at the Passover. And more than three Passovers he went. We know the Lord ministered. He began at the age of 30, and he ministered there. And going up to the Passover each year to recall, if you would, the deliverance of God of his people from the nation of Egypt years ago through Moses. The Passover was a required feast in which the Jewish people would go up to Jerusalem, and they would celebrate the Passover. And this, as we're looking today, is the last Passover that our Lord would attend. And he went there as the Passover lamb. And by the way, he didn't attend that Passover. He died as the Passover lamb prior to the Passover. And this is interesting because John tells us, John was there, John the apostle gives us a clear presentation of what took place back then. He says in verse number 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Let us pray once again. Father, we ask you today as we look into this text, dear Lord, that you would draw our attention, Lord, to the love of Mary. As we see this servant in her love, in her likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he meant to her, dear God, in the last days of his life here on this earth. Help us to see, Lord, what it means to be a Christian, and to see how important it is, Lord, to serve you while we're able. We pray today, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and minds as we reflect upon the things that we have that come from Thee, as we consider who You are and who we are, dear Lord, that we might give the best to Thee and give it all to Thee, dear God, while we have the time to do so. And we'll thank You for what You do, for we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We find as John was the last apostle to live here on the earth. The other 10 had died prior to John. Judas, of course, an apostle. We don't look at that as him being one. He was a called one, but we see where Judas ended. We see what he did, and John is writing again after the fact. And we try to keep these thoughts in mind as he pens the words of what had taken place there just 6 days before the Passover. And I want us to think about that, because as we look into the Passion Week that it's called, of the Passover, and we have this tradition of Jesus being crucified on Friday, that's according not to the Jewish calendar, but to the calendar of the day, the Roman calendar, and how that has become a tradition. And when you look at what's said in the Scriptures, you find that Jesus, the Passover lamb, died as the Passover lamb prior to the Passover. He went to the Passover, of course. This is just a few days before the Passover. All the Jewish males and the Jews are coming into Jerusalem. We're told that on that particular Passover, there may have been as many as thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews in Jerusalem, because they were required to be there. And now Jesus has no place. Of course, he didn't have a home, but he had these men following him, and he had friends, and this is what we find as he made his way to Jerusalem for that week. Again, according to the 6 days and the day and hour that the Lord died, somewhere probably Wednesday afternoon. I hold with that day according to the Scriptures. It was a high Sabbath that year, and we've got this idea that the Sabbath and the Passover from tradition would be on a Saturday, so therefore he died on a Friday, and they said we must get his body down before Passover, but that doesn't line up with the Scripture. What we find is that you remember they wouldn't go in to the hall, the Pharisees, because of the Passover was nigh and these things. But it's 6 days before the Passover. It's a good place to start. He's at Lazarus' home in Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Mary and Martha are there. This, again, doesn't necessarily mean that it aligns with the supper that Matthew and Mark write about. But there we find that he's in Simon the leper's home. This is not what John says. I have in my mind's eye, according to John, that he's in the home of Mary and Martha. Mary, of course, was always busy serving. Martha sitting at the feet of the Lord. And by the way, this is not the same as Mary Magdalene found in Luke's gospel, where that she came to the Lord, this prostitute. But this is Mary, the sister of Martha. And this supper has been prepared. Now, this is a special occasion. Passover is just about to take place. You've got Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. He's there. And what a testimony. Here's a dead man. We know he's dead. He's been dead 4 days. And that's what they said. For he stinketh by now. He's been in the tomb 4 days. There's no question about Lazarus being dead. And now this man is alive. And what a testimony. And Martha, of course, we go back in chapter 11. Remember, Martha had said to the Lord, and Mary as well, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. And Martha says, however, in the resurrection, we know that he'll be raised. So they believed in a resurrection. How did they believe in that? Because Jesus has been teaching to his followers And these two ladies and their brother evidently were strong followers of the Lord. Mary, as we see, may be a little stronger in what she took in and how she digested that and what she did with it. We think about Lazarus. Many people had come to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. And they said they made there a supper. And Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Again, we are told by the tradition of the Jews, even as we think about the Last Supper of the Lord with his disciples, they had a table set, not like you and I, where we sit down in a chair or a seat and the table's in front of us. The table was in a place, we'd say, off the floor, and they would recline and lean back to the table. And we find this in our mind's eyes. They're reclining. They're at the table. And, of course, Martha's serving. And Mary is in the home. I think, again, maybe many people there. But can you imagine Mary kind of maybe slips out and no one notices her. And then Mary comes back in. And we find in verse number 3, Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now, this spikenard comes from the nard plant from India, from what we're told. It's a very expensive product. It's an ointment. By the way, it's been imported. And it comes from another country. It's of high value. He goes on to say it's very costly. That's what John said. And it comes from the roots of this nard plant. And this is what we find. And anointed the feet of Jesus. And she began to wipe his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let's again think a little bit about this. That's what I want us to do. Mary slips away in the kind of the heat of the battle. Martha's serving, everything's in place, and she slips out, and she brings in this ointment. And she opens the ointment. And, of course, the fragrance. You don't have the fragrance of an ointment or any type of a special scent can take effect. There are things that one of the senses, as you think about it, smell. Is one of the senses God has blessed us with. There are things, there are scents that you can smell and immediately your mind will go back to something where you've been before. It happens that way. And I like flowers. I'm not a flower person, but I love flowers. I know that ladies love flowers. I don't know the variety of flowers like some do, but I know that there are flowers that put off certain scents. There are certain scents of the flowers that are often used in funeral services. That's where you're going with this. That's where I'm going. There's a certain flower. If I were to smell it somewhere, it would remind me of a funeral service. That doesn't mean that it's bad, but it does. You only smell that type of aroma, it seems. And of course, we don't do flowers as much as they used to, and you people know that, you're older. But that the walk into the sanctuary and the smell of the plant, there's some particular flower that puts that off, and evidently it's often used in funerals. But there are other scents, and here's this scent that it just fills the room. And it's a very expensive scent. Maybe they have smelled it before. Maybe it's been on other occasions. But think with me in what we find. Mary goes and takes this and she begins to anoint the feet of the Lord. And the scripture says it's costly. And she takes her hair and she begins to wipe his feet. Now what we find in that culture and day is that the Jewish women kept their hair on their head. They rolled it up and put it up. And they looked down on ladies who had their hair hanging down. That's not to say today, ladies, if your hair's not on top of your head, we're not living under the law. But she takes her hair down, and that's a sign of humility. She takes her hair and she begins to wash the feet of the Lord with this ointment. There's a lot going on in this story. That's why I said oftentimes we've read it, we've heard it, but there's a lot going on within this context of what's happening. We see that Judas, of course, John's writing after the fact. He says in verse number 4, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son." John puts his thumb on him. John points him out. He doesn't want you and I as a reader or any other reader to misjudge who this might be. He says he's a disciple. One of his disciples, he's Judas Iscariot, he's Simon's son, which should betray him. Now John's writing after the fact. Remember, John's in the room and this is taking place, but John doesn't know yet who's betraying who, or who's betraying whom, rather, because we haven't gotten to the upper room with the disciples in just a few days where they're questioning themselves. Is it I? But now, after the fact, it seems, and sometimes this is the way it goes, it's after the fact that we realize exactly what was taking place. See, the Lord doesn't reveal it to us as of yet, but after the fact, then we say, oh, yeah. That kind of makes sense now why he would say something like that. Why did he take that jab? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, see, that's what was going on in his heart. See, because it's out of the heart that the issues of life come. He's the guy with the money bag. At that time, evidently, they needed a treasurer. And so it was Judas. And evidently, at that time, they hadn't seen how that he was working. But now it's after the fact, and John exposes him. And he wants us to see this. He's Judas Iscariot. He's Simon's son, which should betray him. He sees John now is letting us know. And Judas asked the question, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, a pence was a day's wage for the blue collar worker in that day and time. And here's Judas. He does a quick calculation in his head, and he said, this is a whole year's worth of wages. This is ridiculous. I mean, we could have taken this money. We could have given it to the poor, but he's not going to do that. How much money had he taken? We don't know. And what had he done with it? Well, he certainly hadn't given it to the poor. And this is what he said. This he said, not, and John again, he's given us the lowdown on this guy after the fact. Not that he cared for the poor. No, he didn't care for the poor. He kind of used that as an excuse. We could have given this out to the clothing ministry or bought food, or we could have done thus and so with it. But that doesn't mean that he had been doing that. This is just how he assessed the situation. See, the devil always is working. He's working his angles. And again, he's got a price tag on this. And Jesus says, let her alone against the day of my burying. She has kept this. It wasn't the matter of the cost of it. It wasn't the matter of the importance of where it had come from. But what we see in this story, and it's a true story, is what Mary did from the heart. And why I say that is this. We'll look at this with this thought. Okay, in that day and time, of course, we see after the fact of the death of Christ that there are those who go to the tomb after the fact of him being placed in the tomb again. Because again, remember we've got to get him off the cross. The Passover is nigh. Not the Passover's here. No, they couldn't have been doing anything on the Passover. Those good Jews, they're going to sit around with their feet propped up. They're not going to walk too far unless they break the Sabbath day law. And so we've got to get him off the cross. We've got to get these bodies down. We don't want this happening on the Passover. So having said that, we see that this matter of Jesus not dying as of yet, but he dies as a Passover lamb, And we find in this that Mary, the one that anoints the Lord 6 days before the Passover, Mary, Martha's sister Mary, she's not found at the cross nor at the tomb. Now, there are other Marys. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, the Bible says. And Mary Magdalene. You can follow those. By the way, as I said before, the Bible will tear up some good preaching, folks. When you get down into the Bible, you'll find out. I don't know that that's true. You mean, what's true? The Bible? No, what I've heard. Get in the Word of God. Why was this Mary not there? Well, you think with me just a moment. We see what she's doing prior to the crucifixion of the Lord. That's what the Lord has to say. Well, think with me. She's not a rich person, we don't think, but if she was, and let's play it both ways, let's say that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were fairly rich. I don't believe they were, because we don't find Jesus kind of hanging. He just kind of hung out with the locals. He chose the fisherman. He chose he went to the home again. He went to Simon the leper's home. He was found to be among the sinners. But let's just say that they were the upper class, so to speak. And Martha was serving a big meal. And Mary goes and gets this costly ointment. And may be costly to us, but not too costly to her. My question then is, why did not she use it on her brother Lazarus? He died. He was good and dead, folks. He'd been in there 4 days. And see, what they would do is they would anoint the body of a person, and this would have certainly been used, or could have been used, or maybe even some may say it should have been used on Lazarus. But she didn't use it on Lazarus, which begs the question. Why didn't she use it on Lazarus? It wasn't, I mean, you know, Martha said, Lord, we know that in the resurrection, he's gonna be raised. So I guess why put anything on him if he's going to be raised? Which begs the question, why then anoint Jesus if he's going to be raised? You with me? So she didn't use it on her brother Lazarus, who died. But now she uses it on the Lord before he dies. Does Mary know something that we don't know? And I think the answer lies in the fact of what she did. Mary did know something, not necessarily that we don't know, but she knew before we knew. See, Jesus had not died yet, but again, Jesus had these close friends. And how many times had Jesus said, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem. He's going to die, and on the third day he's going to be raised. He had talked about the resurrection enough to where Martha said, oh yes, Lord, we know that he's going to be raised in the resurrection. And he had talked about his death. Well, there's a difference. Don't misunderstand me. We need to be served. But Martha spent a lot of time serving, and Mary spent a lot of time listening. And she was close to the Lord. And it broke her heart when her brother died. And I can only imagine what Mary felt in her heart as she understands the things of the Lord. And the Lord says, remember, he said to those disciples, not necessarily Mary and Martha, but he said, let us go up to Jerusalem and that I may die. And they said, well, let us go with you. We'll die too, Lord. They had no idea. They still haven't gotten the full ramification of this death, burial, and resurrection. But I think that Mary had. And now we've got a supper being prepared just prior to the Passover. Now again, what did John the Baptist say when he baptized the Lord? He said, behold, the Lamb of God. He's the Passover Lamb. We're looking at the Passover. You've got the Passover Lamb. You've got the Passover coming up. And you've got all of this mob of people. Now we know. We've seen the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's raised the dead. And we know that all of these things that he's been teaching now are coming to fruition. They're coming to a head. And here's the Passover. He's the Lamb. And what does Mary do? Mary anoints him prior to his death. That's what she did. She broke this ointment out. She took it. and in humility, she washed the feet of the Lord, showing submission to Him, sacrificing everything that she had, as far as we know. Martha was a servant. She's doing her thing. She's giving to the Lord and preparing His body for this day of burial. That's what Jesus said Himself in verse number 7. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. She knows that the Lord is going to die. She knows that He's going to be buried. And she knows that He's going to come forth out of the grave. So what does she do? She gives everything she has to the Lord while He's living. I want us to think about that thought today. Giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord while you can. Think about that. He's at her home, and this is while she can. She's going to give to the Lord. We find as we follow through these next days, as Jesus goes into what we call the week of the Passion, His last week here on earth, He goes into Jerusalem. There's certain things that He does. But this is a very important time because He's in their home. Folks, sometimes we don't know when's the last time that we're going to be with anybody. And sometimes if we were to stop and think about that, it may do a lot for us. You know, it breaks our hearts sometimes when we hear of those who weren't in a good relationship when one or the other of the spouses passed away. Or when one of the family members died, maybe the families weren't in a good relationship at that time, and it hurts, and it's very hurtful. And I think we ought to try to live our life to where we could go at any moment and any time. Because as I've said before, one day we're going to say goodbye for the last time, but we may not know that it's the last time. You think about that. One day we're going to say goodbye to our loved ones. Maybe on the phone, maybe at the house we visit. One day we'll say goodbye for the last time, but we won't know that it's the last time. So what would we do? Are there things sometimes as we think about that we'd go back and we'd like to change? Well, let's let the Lord help us to do that. This is what Mary's doing. She's taking everything that she has, and in humility she bows down and she washes the feet of the Lord, those precious feet that had been up and down. He was God, but He was man. He was tired, He was weary. He thirsted, He was hungry. He was tempted, He was God. He was all 100% man. His feet were tired too. And His feet had carried Him, and those feet had brought the good news of what Mary had in her heart, and she washed the feet of her Lord and Savior. She gave everything she could while she could. And I don't think that's why why we don't find Mary. Why would she need to go to the cross? Really, when you think about it, Jesus said, all of the disciples, He said, the shepherd's going to be smitten and the sheep are going to scatter. And they were. They left. John came back. We find that. John left too that night as they arrested our Lord in the garden. And then John makes his way back to the cross. And John is there when Jesus entrusts His mother into the care of John. But they had forsaken Him. Why would Mary need to go to the cross and see her Lord and Savior die and suffer when she had taken His word into her heart? I don't know about you. I'm just sharing my personal testimony of a loved one. I was there to the very end. Was I there the moment they passed? No. I haven't beat myself up with that. Why? You say, why? Well, the reason why is because we had everything right. We had everything right. I'm not a perfect person, but I want to keep things right. And I would ask that we think about these things, that we do the same thing. Have no regrets. Do you miss them? Yes, I miss them. Did you love them? Yes, I loved them. But I have no regret. Tell someone today that you love them. Let them know that. It's very important to us. We see this in Mary. It was important to her. She had been holding this. Think with me just a moment. She has this bottle of ointment, very costly. She's listened to what Jesus said, about the death, burial, and resurrection. But now, like we say, Lazarus died. Did he have a terminal disease? We don't know. Was it just kind of an off-the-cuff thing? Well, did you hear about Lazarus? What? Hey, he failed it. It kind of surprised the disciples, didn't it? They got the news and said, Lazarus sleeps. They said, well, that's good for him, you know. He's sleeping. Let him sleep on. No, he said he died. But he waited two more days. Why? Because he made sure that this tradition was that the spirit of a person would hover the body for 3 days and then that's it. If they don't come back then, well, he said and waited the fourth day. Lazarus didn't come back, did he? It's not a traditional thing. Well, he popped up. No one had been popping up, but Jesus popped him up. He popped him out. He told him to come forth, and he did. So she didn't use this at that particular time. And then she has it, and now she's thinking about the Passover. Here's the Lord. His words are in her mind and in her heart, and she says, I'm going to take what I have and give it to the Lord. As we think about that, what about what we have? When you think about it, most times people say, well, that's finances. No, everything we have comes from the Lord. Our life, our health. No one deserves better health than the others. We're all human. We know that there's things that come about to the body, diseases, sickness. You and I have no control over it. We can do all that we can. We can wear a mask. We can wipe down. We can glove down. We can do all of these things. But God knows the day and hour of our life. And the scripture says, and it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. So you say, well, what if we're raptured out? You're not going up with this body. And by the way, if you're going up in the rapture, you've already died. How do you say that happened? Well, you have to die to yourself to be born again. So now you have you're a new creature in Christ. But this matter of death, one day we'll be with the Lord. And here we see this. Mary saw this, I think, and she gave it all to the Lord. And what do you and I have again? Who will we leave it to? Whose is it? You've heard the stories, and we know that many people say sometimes, unbeknownstly, I worked hard for this, this is mine. Maybe you did work hard, and maybe you have something, but you know what? Everything we have comes from God. You look at the situations. I grieve with the people, not only up in Missouri and Arkansas and Tennessee. Think about North Carolina. What about Florida? Who knows what the hurricane season is going to be this year? You can have everything that you have worked for blown away in just a matter of time, or either washed away. And God already knows that. I wonder how many people, if they could, would want to go back and say, Lord, I wish, you know, we're not going to be rewarded for what we wish we could have done for the Lord one day. The scripture says that you and I as believers will be rewarded at the bema judgment of Christ. The bema judgment of Christ is where he will sit on the bema seat, an elevated position, and you and I will stand before the Lord, and he will reward us for what we have done. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. At that bema judgment, he's not declaring whether we're going to make heaven or not. We've already made it. We're in the heaven with him. But he's going to reward us for what we have done, not what we wish we had done. Not for what I would that I have done this or I had done that. When we see the Lord one day, people, I want you to understand this. And from the depth of my heart, I feel like we'll say, I wish I had done more for him. When we see those precious hands that were pierced for our sin, and his brow that was pierced for our sin, his feet, his side was riven, all for our sin, not that he deserved anything, but because he loved us, he took that in his body, and we'll wish we had done more for the Lord. And what we find today is that Mary went ahead and gave it all. She gave it all. That evening, They had the supper, and he goes out. We find the remainder of the week he's in Jerusalem, back out. Never spent an evening in Jerusalem, but he's at their home. And I wonder, when the Lord was crucified, with Mary saying, "Yes, Lord, it was for you." She did go to the grave. She got the news back from the grave. He is risen. He is risen. He's alive. I wonder how that Mary must have rejoiced at that time. What about Judas? Oh, that we could have taken this and distributed it to the poor. And where do we find Judas at the end of his life? He's taken his life of taking in things and trying to line his pocket with things that would last forever. And at the end of it all, he took that 30 pieces of silver and it cast it back before the feet of the Pharisees, you remember. It didn't do him a bit of good. Jesus said, what doth it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? As one has well said, and I take this as a quote from Jim Elliot, the man who died as a missionary of a young age. But he said, he is not a fool to give what he cannot keep, to keep that which he cannot lose. He's not a fool to give away that which he cannot keep. You cannot keep it. What is it? Is it finances? Is it things? Is there something in our life? We say, Lord, one day I'm going to... Time is a very valuable thing. We can't buy it. We all have the same amount. We'll be judged by how we use it. What about time? I wish I could redeem that time, Lord. I would that I could go back. Well, as I said, some things that occur and have happened, we can't go back. Don't beat yourself up with it, but let's go forward with it, okay? What do you mean by that? Well, the precious time that you may not have spent with your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, whatever it is, but now you think about it and you say, hey, I'm going to spend more time. I haven't spent the time praying as I should. Let's spend more time doing that. I haven't spent the time witnessing. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about inviting these people to church. I mean, here it is, another Easter. I meant to do that last year and the year before. When are you going to do it? Let's get going with it. Let's not have any regrets, and let's give it all to the Lord, as Mary did. She gave it all. Now there's no regrets. He is not a fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. That which you cannot lose will be a crown one day. There are several crowns mentioned in the Bible. Several crowns that the Lord's going to reward us with. And I want you to receive that crown. I want you to get all out of this of serving the Lord that can be possible. That's what I see in this today. Let us think about it. Is there something that we're maybe like Mary. Mary knew what was going on. Thank the Lord. She didn't use it on Lazarus. She said, no, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And he went on to say, the Lord did, that this would be a testimony for her throughout the world today. When we talk about this Mary, the one that washed the feet of the Lord with her hair, what do we know about her? She gave it all. She gave it all. There have been others, don't misunderstand me, there are Christians today serving in countries of hatred among unbelievers. Nations, I read, you may have seen just in the news, they arrested this man. I may have the pronunciation wrong. I think it's Sinhalese tribe. It's off a particular island. These people, just out of India ways, this particular island never has had any visitors go to it. These people kill people. They don't want anyone coming in with any type of disease. I don't know if you read that or not. They just say this guy, I say that. They saved him. They arrested this man, not the people on the island, but another people, took him back and brought him back for his own good. He didn't see that. But he wasn't going there with the gospel. He was going there just to say that he had gone there. But there was one who had given his life. He went there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they took his life. These people, these Sinhalese people took his life. They don't want anybody there. This man had a burden for the Lord. There are those who have had a burden for the Lord. Jim Elliot went to the Alka Indians. He had a burden for the Lord. Cost him his life. But what he has in glory today, only God knows. He's not a fool that gives away that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You're not a fool for serving the Lord. It's not an iffy thing to give up what you have for the Lord. Let's stand together today as we bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. I pray today that the Holy Spirit will take the things we've said and heard today. Help us to think about it. To think about the work of the Lord and what He has for you and for me. I don't think God is through with us until He calls us up, whether one by one or collectively together. So therefore, we ought to think about what is it that God has left me for? What purpose do I have in life? What can I give for the Lord? What can I do for the Lord that will honor Him and be of value to me? Father, thank You for Your precious word. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for what You do and how You work in the lives of Your people. We pray for those that are lost, dear God, that we would continue to go forward and reach out to them, whatever the cost. Help us, Lord, to reach the foreign fields. Help us to be a witness to those right here in our local area as well. Help us to serve You, Lord, all the days of our lives. And we praise You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.